the ice, which was still tied to the sled. Two, as I dropped, I had time to yell, scream, and the last thing I saw as I went under was Cookie's head swinging up from sleeping and her eyes locking onto mine as I went beneath the surface. The truth is, I shouldn't have lived. I've had several friends killed in just this manner, dropping through the ice while running dogs, and there wasn't much of a chance for me. The water was 10 or 12 feet deep. I saw all the bubbles from my clothing going up to the surface, and I tried to pull myself up on the rope. My hand slipped, and I thought in a wild, mental scream of panic that this is how it would end. Then the rope tightened. There was a large noose knot on the end, and it tightened and started pulling up. And when the knot hit, I grabbed and held, and the dogs pulled me out of the hole and back up under the ice. There was still very little time. I had a quart of white gas stove fuel in the sled for emergencies, and I threw it on a pine tree nearby and lit a match and set the whole tree on fire. And in the heat, I got my clothes off and crawled in a sleeping bag. I stood inside it and held my clothing near the flame to dry them. I would have died, if not for Cookie. She saw me drop, instantly analyzed the situation, got the team up. She must have jerked them to their feet, got them pulling, and they pulled me out. That was January of 1980. It is now 97. And as I write this and everything that has happened in the last 17 years, everything, Iditarod's published books, love, living, life, all of it,